Proverbs chapter 4 and verse number 26. All right, if you're there, let's read that verse all together. It's very short. Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 26. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. The Bible here tells us to ponder the path of our feet. This morning in Sunday school, I want to speak to you for a few minutes on the sin of short-sightedness. The sin of short-sightedness. This is a human condition that afflicts us all. And I am not talking about the problem that comes from age or that comes from, you know, not taking care of your eyes or maybe not eating enough carrots. I'm not talking about the physical ailment of short-sightedness of, you know, where you can see things that are close but you can't see far away. Things down the road or far away begin to get blurry. But I'm talking about another definition of short-sightedness, which was, I read in one of the dictionaries, a lack of imagination or the inability to see coming events, the inability to see down the road. That's what we're talking about, short-sightedness. It's an ailment that afflicts us all. We go through life and we are maybe even not even consciously, but we are always readjusting our vision to that which is right in front of us. Those of you, you know I just got glasses, and right now anything close, I have to adjust my vision. I have to figure out, okay, that's where I can read it. You know, I adjust it and put it where it needs to be. And for some reason, in our life, overall, we continually adjust our vision to what is right in front of us, completely forgetting about and not considering what's down the road, where we're going to be with what we're doing in the path that we're on right now. Now, you know, last Monday and Tuesday, I had the privilege of taking my kids skiing. And that was a lot of fun. We had a great time, and praise the Lord, we were all safe. But you know, when you're going down the mountain, you're skiing, and you might be clipping along at a pretty good pace. You're looking right in front of you because, I mean, there might be something there that you're going to hit, and you don't want to hit it. But you're moving so quick. How many of you understand? You got to look down the road a little ways. You got to look ahead. Otherwise, you might come up on somebody that's going really slow and just plow into them. You don't need, I mean, you, nothing you can do. You weren't looking far enough ahead traveling at that speed. The other thing you might not realize, I was talking to Mary Prenzel on Thursday night, and she was talking about how she really enjoys skiing. It's something she loved doing, and she was talking about one day she was out skiing, and she took a trail, and that trail dumped her out onto a very large mogul field. Now, that's a hill with bumps all over it, if you're not a skier. So now you're going downhill, but not only are you going downhill, but you're going like this, downhill. And she said, oh, it was terrible. I did not want to be on that mogul field. She's like, I made it through it, but it was terrible. I didn't enjoy that at all. That's not what I wanted to do. And what happens is you're going down, you're skiing down a trail. You got to look where you're going to end up, especially when you get to the bottom of the hill. You do not want to be 300 yards from the lift and no more hill left because that means you got to take your skis off and hike or you got to push. And that wears you out, pushing all the way to the lift. What I'm saying is you've got to look down the road so you end up where you want to be. If I want to be right in line, right, you know, two people in front of me and I'm going to sit down on the chair and ride it to the top, then when I'm going down the hill, sometimes we'd be going down, and I'll tell the kids, I'll say, don't slow down, don't slow down. The bottom of this hill, you got to go a long ways to get to the lift. Keep your speed, keep your speed. And we would go all the way up, pull up right in front. And there's a bunch of people pushing their way to the lift. But we're there. That's where you want to be. And in life, when we look down the road, and we look and we see where we want to be, you understand, we've got to be looking there if that's where we want to go. We have a problem in our lives of short-sightedness. Somehow we live under the impression that we can choose to live in a destructive way. We can choose to live on a path that everybody else, life has ended up a mess. But for some reason, we think that miraculously, when we get there, that trail's just going to change. That somehow that into that trail, although everybody else has taken it, ended up on the mogul field, when I get there, it's going to be a green, just smooth sailing. For those of you that don't ski, green is the easy trail. That's the one that's real light, real nice. It doesn't happen. When you go down a particular trail, you end up at what's at the end of that trail. Everyone here, I know, would love to have what would be characterized as a successful life. However you want to define that, and there's a lot of ways you could define a successful life, right? Amen? But let's not even get into that. Let's just say however you want to define it, and you can do that in your own mind. I know that all of us want to have a successful life. In our mind, we understand that the way to achieve that is through self-discipline, through self-denial, through pursuing the path towards that goal, making daily decisions that will get us to that end. We understand that in our mind, but for some reason, daily, we don't do it. Daily, we are like the child who wants a quarter now instead of a dollar tomorrow. That's how the majority of people live in the world today, and even Christians. I'd say, Pastor Caleb, how do you know that? Because most people are buried in debt. That's the facts of it. That is exactly the same thing as a kid saying, give me my quarter now instead of a dollar tomorrow. When we as adults have a lot of money on credit cards, we are not thinking about tomorrow. We're not thinking down the road. We're thinking about, we want this right now. Whether it's a 99-cent cheeseburger or a new car, when we pull out the plastic and don't have the money to pay for it, what we're saying is, I'm not concerned about tomorrow. I want what I want today. Am I right? That's what we do. We disregard tomorrow's turmoil for today's satisfaction. I'm just going to get it because I'm going to enjoy it. And you know how the salesman says, you know, things like, hey, you'll be enjoying this long after the payments are over. You know, that's a bunch of baloney. you're still going to be paying on it, and the thing's going to be, you know, a piece of junk, and you'll be saying, man, why did I do that? That's why young people don't want to wait to get married. They want to go ahead and get married. It's all about romance and love, and let's get married right now. No implication on the couples that were married today. I believe they went in God's time and time in this week, in God's time and with agreement of their parents. And I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about in general, young people, they give no thought to what marriage actually takes. They just think, oh, hey, it's all about love. Well, love won't pay your bills. Love won't put food on the table. There's some other things that are necessary to have a happy home besides just love. That's why a lot of young people can't wait to have sex, because they're not thinking about tomorrow. They're not thinking about the distrust. They're not thinking about the problems that they're going to create, whether it's in their marriage or in a marriage with somebody else down the road, because they've given themselves away to somebody long before the right time, because they want that satisfaction today. They don't think about what that road is going to lead them to. Child out of wedlock, dropping out of high school, blaming their problems on somebody else because they couldn't control their desires. Now, I know this is kind of a straightforward Sunday school lesson, but what I'm talking to you about this morning is because we're on the edge of 2019. And what I want to ask you is, this day, 366 days from now, the last day of next year, are you going to look back on a year of regret? another year of disappointment, another year of dissatisfaction? Or will you be able to look back on a year of success, of victory, of fulfillment in your life? Because you were looking down the road, because you thought today about where you wanted to be then, and said, you know what, if I want to be there this day next year, then I'm going to have to go this way. Right. You know, not looking down the road is the reason why I don't speak Spanish today. As a young person, I grew up in El Paso, Texas. All of my friends spoke Spanish. I could have learned Spanish so easy with very little discipline, with just a little bit of thought and a little bit of concentration, but I wasn't thinking down the road. I was just, oh, I can get by. I can make it. I'm okay. I could pretty much understand what my friends' moms were telling me. I mean, when they were chasing me out of the kitchen, I knew they didn't want me eating their food, you know, regardless of what they were saying. I was getting the picture. It wasn't ready yet. Okay. I mean, I got to where I could pretty much understand. I couldn't communicate, but I knew what they wanted. So I thought, I'm okay, and I didn't apply myself. The same thing with playing the piano. I can't play the piano today, but I ought to be able to. I started taking lessons, but I decided, you know what, I don't want to push myself to that end because I wasn't thinking down the road. And I know every one of you in here can think about your life and think about situations like that, things that you say, man, if I would have just done this then, I'd be so much better right now. But now we're in that place, and it's like, well, I didn't do it. But what about tomorrow? What about down the road? It's never too late. How much different would our lives be if we lived in light of our text? Ponder the path of thy feet and let thy ways be established. What if we gave some consideration to the outcome of our present day attitudes, ambitions, and actions? Where would we be? Moses' prayer for Israel was just that. In Deuteronomy 32:29, he said, oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. Moses said, God, would you please help them to look down the road? Would you help them to consider their latter end, to exercise and to use a little bit of wisdom? Would you help them, Lord, to see where the path they're on is taking them? Help them to show some wisdom and to consider the latter end. This principle is all through the Bible. The psalmist says in Psalms 39, verse number 4, Lord, make me to know my end and the measure of my days, what it is that I may know how frail I am. He says, Lord, make me to know my end. Help me to understand that my days are numbered. We know that, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. That principle is saying, look, I've got this many days to live. I've got this much time left here on earth. I mean, what would we do if we each had a date? If we weren't, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. If we had a date and we knew, okay, my life is up at this point. If we knew that, how would we be living today? I've got this many days left. Teach me to number my days that I may apply my heart to wisdom. That means I got to do what during this time? What do I need to accomplish? I need to look down the road and say, this is where I want to be. Friend, we cannot continue to look just right in front of us and live our life for today and do what we want to do today. Listen, that's why so many of us are overweight. Say, Pastor, this is not time of year to get on food. Hey, that's the facts. We give no thought to what that extra poundage is going to do to us physically. No thought to the toll it's going to take on tomorrow. How hard it's going to be to get out of bed in the morning after I ate all that stuff at 12 o'clock at night. No thought of, it's just, hey, give me the chocolate cake. Not me, but you know, most people want chocolate cake. I like chocolate cake with vanilla ice cream. We just like, hey, yeah, let me have it. Let me have another helping of that. Let me have that. No thought for tomorrow. No thought of what it's going to be, what it's going to cost us. How many pounds does that equal, right? Very few people live disciplined lives. Very few people. I have a lot of respect for the people that I see that live a disciplined life. One of them is my brother-in-law. Everybody in his family is overweight. Some of them substantially. And he is not. And it's not because he doesn't like to eat. It's because he lives a disciplined life. He's very careful. He watches what he eats, careful about the time he eats. Lives a very disciplined life. Very few people do that. Do you understand that our destiny, where we're going to end up, is not unknown? That's what we like to think in our mind, like, oh, it's just going to happen. Our destiny, whatever it is, it's just going to happen to us. Do you understand that our destiny is gift-wrapped in the decisions that we make today? Where I'm going to end up is not unknown. If I start walking this way, I'm going to get to the back of this room eventually. That's what happens. It's not unknown. And a lot of times, the path that we're heading, we are so oblivious to it, it takes somebody else to tell us, hey, you shouldn't do that. And we do that with our kids. We say, hey, you can't act like that. You can't talk like that. You can't go with that friend. You can't go down that direction. But when we get a little older, we feel like nobody can tell us what to do. Nobody can tell us that we're going down the wrong path. Who are you to tell me that this is the wrong path? Right? We get in our mind, this is what we want to do. Nobody can say anything. Haggai gave us some insight to this. He's in chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. He says, now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put into bags with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. The path that you've been going down your life and what you've been doing, you say, man, I just can't catch up. Consider your ways. Man, I just can't get the victory. Consider your ways. Consider the path that you're on. Beloved, the path we are headed down right now, will it lead you to where you want to be? Hey, we're just about to embark upon a new year. Are you going to be where you want to be at the end of this next year? You can be. You don't have to let life happen to you. You can direct your life. Hopefully led by God. If we're going to have a successful year, and ultimately if we're going to have a successful life, we need to do what our text says. We need to ponder the path of our feet. Ponder the path of our feet. You know, it's not enough just to desire the right things. It's not enough just to desire to be at a particular place. This is what I was challenging Brad and Aaron with at the wedding yesterday. It's not enough to just have love in your heart and to desire this vision of what a happy marriage is going to be and the idea that, man, we are just going to be in love and enjoy each other and have so much fun together and it's just going to be bliss. For the honeymoon. And then there's some work that goes into it. Then you have to overlook some things. You have to forgive each other for your failures and your shortcomings and for your forgetfulness. You have to love when it's not easy to love, right? I know I'm speaking to a lot of married couples. You understand that. You've been married a while. They're just starting out. They don't even, they have no idea, do they? They got no idea. Doesn't matter how much we tell them. They're going to have to learn some of it themselves. But that's what we're saying. It's not enough just to desire it. How do you remember the story of Balak, King Balak and Balaam? You remember King Balak? He knew he couldn't defeat God's people because God's blessing was on him. So he said, hey, Balaam, would you come over and curse God's people? I'll give you a bunch of stuff. And Balaam said, okay. So Balaam comes over to curse God's people. He goes up into the mountain. They light a bunch of sacrifices, and he gets up there to curse God's people. And this is what he says. He says, "Who can count the dust of Jacob and the numbers of the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last days be like his." He says, let me be like Jacob. Man, Jacob is so blessed. Who can even count the dust of his people? I mean, there's so many people, it's like the dust. Look at the blessing God's put on their life. Let me be like that. And Balak came and said, "What in the world did you do? I told you to curse them, and you blessed them." He says, "What can I do? That's what God put in my mouth. That's God told me to do that." And Balak says, "Hey, I'll double it. I'll give you more. You got to curse them." Four times he blesses them, and Balak tries to get him to curse them. And in here, you remember the story of Balaam's donkey? God put an angel in the way. Balak said, "Man, I sure want that money. I sure would like to have all that power and recognition that King Balak's given me. That would be nice." And Balaam was desiring that. God put an angel in the way to say, "Hello, don't go that way. This is not what you're supposed to do." And he didn't see it. So God had a donkey talk to him, tell him, "You're not supposed to be going this way." And Balaam still went that way. Ultimately, four times. And finally, he could not curse them. But you know what he did? He says, "I can't curse them, but I can tell you what to do so God will curse them." What you need to do is you need to send your women in among their men, cause them to intermarry, and God will be displeased with them, and God will curse them. You see, he was headed down a path and nobody could tell him any different. He wanted what he wanted. This is the direction I want to go. And listen, so many times in our lives, that is us, especially as adults. And somebody comes in and tells you, "Listen, this is not wise." And you're like, "Who are you?" Maybe it's just an old donkey trying to get your attention. They aren't anybody. It's the Holy Spirit of God putting up a warning sign saying, "Don't go that way. It's going to lead to destruction, and you're going anyway." It's not enough. You see, Balaam wanted to be blessed like Jacob. He said, "Let me be blessed like that. Let me die like Jacob's family is going to die. Look at that." We've all had people we've looked at and said, "Man, I would love to be blessed like that." Right? We've had friends, we've had family, we've seen God's blessing on people's lives, and we said, "Wow, it would be amazing to have that kind of a blessing." That's what Balaam desired, but the path that he pursued, even against God, didn't end him up there, did it? Do you see what the truth that we're saying, talking about? We've got to ponder the path we're on. It's not just enough to desire the right path. That's not possible. There's nothing wrong with desiring to have a blessing that we see on somebody else's life. The only biblical example I think of this is Elisha, who wanted a double portion. I mean, he didn't even say, "Lord, would you bless me like him?" He said, "God, give me a double portion. Just bless me beyond. Lord, this would be great to be able to be used of you like this. Give me a double portion." And God honored his request. So seeing God's blessing on somebody's life and desiring that for us is not a bad thing, but desire alone is not enough. We've got to ponder the path we're on. We've got to dedicate our way to God. Proverbs 16, verse 2 and 3. "All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits." Listen, in our mind, it's just like, how many of you, we had Miss Corrine this last week helping Mary do some proofing. She was doing some proofing for us for this devotional we had to get done. That's what the staff was doing on Christmas Day. We were working on a devotional for you guys. How many of you understand when you're looking at a document, you're like, "Okay, everything's perfect." Because in your mind, you know what it's supposed to say. Right. And you're seeing it. That's what it says. You know, it's what it is. And I'll tell you what, Mary is so frustrating. She pulls a document up. She isn't looking at that for 3 seconds. And she's like, "What about this and this and this? That's got to be, did you mean to say this?" I'm like, "Well, no, that's not really what I was trying to say." And she tears my document all to pieces. It's terrible. Sometimes I say, that's what I wanted to say, just leave it. Don't change it. Just, I don't care if it's right or wrong. Right? That's what I want. I don't care if it's right or wrong. Somebody else with different eyes a lot of times can see where we're messing up, and we're looking at it saying, no, that's not the case. And they're like, yes, it is. We don't want to see. We look at it and we do not see it. But somebody with different eyes, just a different perspective, could really help us. We got to dedicate our way to the Lord. Let God lead us. And sometimes he uses other people to help us in that. Self-deception is a real problem. We think we're on the right path, but we need God to establish our thoughts, to deliver our feet from the snare of the devil, because we know that he wants to take us down. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul. This is a problem we have as adults. We get onto the kids and, you know, we want to talk to them and say, listen, you need to listen, you need to obey, you need to do. And somehow when we get 21, we just think we're beyond any instruction. I mean, we just, nobody can tell me because I know it all now. I'll tell you what, one of the biggest things that we need as believers is humility and a teachable spirit. Just to understand we don't know it all and we're still learning and still growing. And I know in our mind's eye, everybody says, yep, I understand, Pastor. But then when somebody comes and tells you you shouldn't be doing that, what do? We bristle. What? And it takes a spiritual, mature Christian to say, hey, the bristle's going to come. It's going to come because we have a human nature inside of us still. But then we need the Spirit of God to push that down and say, hey, maybe he's right. Maybe I need to pray about this. Maybe I need to seek some other wisdom. Maybe the Lord sent him to me. And a mature Christian does that. Not only do we need to ponder the path, but we need to pursue. We need to pursue that path. Jeremiah 6, verse number 16, he says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the way and see and ask for the old paths. Jeremiah was telling them, listen, you need to ask for the old paths. You need to look for them. Where is the good way? And walk therein. He was telling them, listen, the nation of Israel, individuals, you need to ask God, show me the path. Show me the old ways. Show me what I need to do, Lord. Help me to see that and to walk in it. Every path that we take in life leads somewhere. And you understand that the well-worn path is not usually the right one for the Christian. The well-worn path is not usually the one that you want to take. Proverbs 1, verse number 15 says, my son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. The path of the world. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not the way of evil men. You know, we do not want what we get when we walk down the world's path. Every single person in here, I don't care how spiritual you are or how carnal you are, you desire to be a success in your life. You desire to see the blessings in your life. And you do not want what you're going to get when you go down the world's path. But the devil blinds us to where that leads. And he puts up the billboard of the glamorous life of sin. And that's all we see. We don't have the spiritual eyes to see down the road. And we continue down that path. That is not what we want. If you ask somebody, do you want a broken home? Do you want heartache and turmoil? Do you want to end up on the street? Do you want to be addicted to drugs? Do you want to end up losing all of your teeth? Do you want to end up in a rehab center? Is this what you want? They would say emphatically no, and it has nothing to do with spirituality or God. That's not where they want. But they still shoot up. They still go down the path, right? And in our lives, We're the same way, and I know we might not be talking about drugs with individuals in here, but there's things that we're doing in our lives that are going to lead down the wrong way. And we better ask God for the spiritual sight to see where that's leading us. Ponder the path that we're on and ask God, would you establish my way? Would you show me? Would you help me to get on the right one? Find the right path and let's pursue that. Let's pursue that. I know it's challenging at times, and I know that there's a fight to make that happen. But here's the thing. What you get at the end of that path is what you want. That's what you desire. That's where you want to end up. It's going to take a little bit of pondering right now. It's going to take some establishing your way and pursuing the right path. But if you do it, you'll be where you want to be, choosing the right path. The Word of God is our guide for that. Psalm 16:11, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. I mean, you would think I was giving you a prosperity gospel and kind of principles today. Talking, hey, you want fullness of joy? You want pleasure forevermore? That's what God's word says. Psalm 16:11, ask God, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there's pleasures forevermore. That's what we want. That means we got to get headed down the right path. Amen? Amen? Going down the right path to where God wants us to be. Listen, the Word of God, you know it's a lamp to your feet and a light unto your path. It's a lamp to show you where you are right now. Do you understand sometimes the Word of God criticizes where you are? Right. Oh, we don't like that part. But it also can commend. It also can commend where you are. Say, hey, you're on the right path. And it's a light. It's a light to your feet and a lamp. It's a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. It's like a spotlight shining down the road showing you. The Word of God can criticize or commend. It'll help you be on the right path. Ponder the path of thy feet and let thy ways be established. Psalms 27:11 says, teach me the way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path. Ask God to help us. Teach me the way, Lord. Lead me in a plain path. Make it plain. Show me what I need to be doing, God. And we need to pursue that. It's not enough just to know about it. It's not enough just to desire it. I know that if I lift weights, I'll get stronger. And I would really like to be stronger. But I could know that and desire that every day of my life and not get any stronger until I do something about it, right? Until I start picking up some weights. That's what makes the difference when we start to pursue that path. We have to pursue that path. Knowledge is never enough. At some point, if we want to be successful, if we want to have a successful year, we have to begin to establish the right path and get on it. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the way out of the wilderness of sin. Jesus is the way through our uncertain tomorrows. Jesus is the way into the family of God, and Jesus is the way to have a family blessed by God. Jesus is the way to a successful life here on earth. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, would you follow him? And if you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, Jesus is the way to help you be where ultimately you want to be. Would you accept him today?